today on Anchored in the Word.
So as they were doing what they were called to do, they didn't have to worry about how do we get this? How do we get more people in here? Don't even worry about that. It's God that adds to the church. If nothing else, we learn that from the book of Acts. As we just walk with Jesus, as we do what we're called to do, it says that God will add to the church those who are to be saved. And the number increased daily. Look, this takes the pressure off of us.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Have you ever been in a church that put all of its focus or stress on getting more people to come through the door? Was that church equally, if not more, concerned about whether or not they obeyed God's word? In today's message, you'll learn from Pastor Bill that one of the sure ways a church grows is by simple obedience and the pursuit of righteousness. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 16 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
Paul comes into town and then God opens a door. So you will fulfill, you will find the ministry that you've been called to as you're just being faithful to what's put before you. And that's what we see here in young Timothy. Paul wanted him to go, and it says, and he took him and circumcised him. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about the cost of the call. See the call when he's called to come, the preparation for the call there. We just talked about that. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about the cost of the ministry. Now, this seems kind of contradictory. What in the world was Paul, what did Paul circumcise Timothy for? When we just had this Jerusalem council, just previously in the previous chapter, when religious Jews were saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. Remember that? We just talked about that. We found out that no, that doesn't save you. You're only saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else, right? No works can save you. So what does he mean then? Why is he doing this? Especially when he told Titus, remember in Galatians chapter 2, the Judaizers, again, these religious Jews, said that Titus, who was in the ministry, needed to get circumcised. And Paul says, no, I'm standing against this right now. He did that in that situation. So why is he doing this in this situation? Because it's about the motive, the reason that he was doing it. That's everything. The purpose of what, and this was a cost directly to young Timothy. Let me read you this, what Paul said, and this will get the mindset. And just about everybody that I've ever heard teach this believes this. In other words, it speaks to the why. Why did Paul do this? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Get that idea, that mindset? He's willing to get out of his comfort zone. He's willing to pay a price to do something else that somebody else may benefit besides himself. We're living in a culture, we're living in a time when the Western culture is really focused on getting us to focus on the individual. If you analyze it and look at it, that's what's happening. Now, we're kind of in the midst of it, so we're just so used to it. And it even translates out into the church sometimes. But it shouldn't. In other words, the church is a unit. And you can see the quote, God loves each of us as if there's only one of us. And that says a couple things. One, that God's got a lot of love, right, to go around. But I took that, I thought of that as a unit too. God loves his body. God loves his bride. And so I don't know how you think about that when you think, oh, I'm his bride. I have a hard time as a man thinking about that, but maybe if we think of it as a unit all together, it's a little easier for me to think about, because that's what he's talking about. Together, we're the bride of Christ, all of us together. And so this idea of not just about being an individual, but about thinking about this idea of others. Ever seen a bumper sticker? Others. And you wonder, what was that for? I guess they want you to think about others. We need to be reminded about others, right? And so in this situation, Paul was talking about this idea that, man, I've become all things to all people. Says, when I'm with the Jews, I'm going to become a Jew. You know, he's going to minister to as many people as he can and taken out of his comfort zone. In other words, it wasn't truly, by his words there in Corinthians, he was understanding this idea that it wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about him. And in this case, Timothy's going to get circumcised. Something that's not any fun when you're, you know, 8 days old. But at least I would think it's better when you get it at that age than you do when you're a grown man. It's a painful matter. But the point is, it's a cost that is to be paid. And some would say it this way, that think about this. I mean, we're all about, in this day and age, you know, our rights, especially as Americans, our personal rights. We have rights. These are my rights. And we stand up for our rights and all these other things. Whereas those things are true, the reality is in the kingdom of God, it's different. In the kingdom of God, I shouldn't be all focused on my own personal rights, because who's our best example of this? It wasn't Paul. It's not Timothy. It wasn't even Peter. It wasn't Adam. It wasn't any of those people from the Old Testament, David. It is Jesus himself. We dare not go any farther to look at a person as they walk the planet and they weren't all focused on everything about themselves and their own personal comfort, right? I mean, he went to the cross. Why were we yet sinners? He died for us. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. He was our example of what it looks like to live the selfless life. Christ is the example of that. Now, he hasn't called you to be the Christ. John the Baptist said, he's not the Christ, neither are you, neither am I. But he has called us to be part of the body of Christ. And he has called us to pour into others in this body of Christ. And he's called us to things, to not to worry about our rights or our liberties, right? Some people are all worked up. Well, as a Christian, I can do that. Okay, you can do that, but there's a higher law, and it's the law of love. And we need to have this mindset that we start thinking about the things that we do, whether it be the way that we dress, you know, the way that I conduct myself, all these different things that we can look at. Should a Christian do that? Should a Christian do that? Well, here's what I would say to you. What are you sifting that idea through? And it's a personal thing, first of all. Am I looking at it, how it affects other people, right? Women, I'll just throw this one out there. How you dress when you come to church. You know, are you considering the way that it affects other people when you come to church? Think about that, because it does affect other people. Or anything that we do, any practice that we're involved in. Not just because some people say, I can handle that. Okay, you may be able to handle that, he said proudly. But you may be able to handle that. But what about the rest of the people that you're influencing? Can they handle it? What about them? You know, Paul used this idea, you know, that he wouldn't stumble a weaker brother. He wouldn't eat meat, he said, that was offered to idols, because he didn't want to stumble somebody else. That mindset, I've become all things to all men. And he says, I might by all means save some. Is it really important to you? I mean, what is it important, the idea of people, you know, saving souls? Is that important to you? It should be. And it was important to Paul. It's important to Jesus. And we go back to this idea now. He gets circumcised because of the Jews. Now, here's the thing. This is the reason. Because this was going to be a stumbling block for them regarding the gospel. As he's going to be on this ministry team, the fact that they knew that his mother is Jewish and that he wasn't circumcised, that was not only going to just affect Timothy's ministry in a negative way to the Jews, but it was going to affect Paul's ministry in a negative way because he was part of the team. Yes, it shouldn't have been that way. The Jews shouldn't be that hung up on that, right? But they were. It's just reality. They were. And there are certain things that are going on in the world today that people are put off by or whatever, that could be a stumbling block to the ministry, to the gospel in your life. And I would say to you, here's the good news about this. You don't have to figure it all out. There's no manual that will tell you, because it's different for all of us, first of all. Now, so it's not the manual that's going to tell you, but it's, hear this, it's Emmanuel. You know what that means, right? God with us. It's not a manual. It's not just a manual to tell you what to do right and wrong. It's an Emmanuel, God with you. So here's what this means. Because you're part of the church and you have the Holy Ghost living in you, Holy Spirit living in you, he is going to show you the things in your life that, like he did for Paul. This wasn't just Paul's idea. It doesn't even make sense to Paul. He wasn't big on circumcision. You know that, but this is something that I believe the Holy Spirit showed him to do, and he merely responded to it. And Timothy went along with it. It shows the right heart. But the same thing is going to be true with you. There are going to be things in your life that are going to be a stumbling block to someone else or not good for you, but God's going to show you by his Holy Spirit to not do that or to do put something off or to put something on. And that's the beauty of it. It's a personal thing with the Lord. And it's a step, it's a form of obedience or worship. Paul, believe it or not, Paul and Timothy were worshiping, and that the motive of their heart was to please God because they knew they were caused, they were ministers of the gospel, and they believed that this was going to get in the way of the gospel. No problem. I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to do that, no matter what it's going to cost me in that situation. Now listen, what we need to get a hold of here is this idea is that you need to be willing to do this in your own heart. That's where it starts. That's the part that you play in this. God's going to bring it to your forefront. He's going to show you these things. And you just in your heart need to be willing. That's a choice that you make. And he's not asking you to do it on your own. You say, oh, Lord, that's too hard. Yeah, you're right. But as you do have the ability to say yes to him and to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. And then if you will do that, he will, listen to this, he will give you the grace to do it. Meaning that, I believe, it doesn't say I'm believing that he had the grace to get circumcised at his age, at, you know, probably in his teenage years at this point, and God gave him the grace to go through with that. And even in the next several days as he healed. It has to be that way. You see, that's the beauty of this whole thing. He's not asking me to do it on my own. Yeah, I got the information. I just got to tough up and do it. No. In the heart, I've got to be willing to do it his way. And I said, Lord, help me with this. I'm having a hard time with this. Will you help me? And then he gives the grace or the power of God to do that. Is that clear? That's very important. So that was the cost of the call, was that it says that he was circumcised because of the Jews, because they knew that his father was Greek. Verse 4 says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So I want you to see in verse 4 what we have here is we have the apostles and the elders. These were the older people. These are the necessary artifacts, the things in the church, the old people, the ones that have been walking with Christ. Now, some of the old people have been walking with Christ. They come in as old people. Praise the Lord for that, right? We want to get them converted too. But old people are necessary. One of the things, you know, there's this thing happening in the church nowadays. At least it's happening as far as I can see. And even in some of the Calvary Chapel circles that I travel in, and it's that, man, we got to be geared towards youth because we get this idea that, you know, we look out into the pastors' conferences and all these guys got gray hair, no hair, not all of them, but a lot of them. The guys that are speaking to us are ancient, man. These guys are in their 60s, 70s maybe. Some of these guys have been pastoring for 40, 50 years. So that's one way to look at it. We need some young people. We don't want to be like that church down the road that just kind of dried up and died. So I get that idea. I get that, you know, but the idea came to me as I'm thinking, because I want to, you know, I don't want to get old and be old and crusty and everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be cool or anything, but I don't want to miss the Holy Ghost boat. You know what I mean? I want to be on that boat. So, but I was thinking about this idea and I thought, yeah, we got to, you know, the youth, this and the youth, that. It's like, well, and I'm having a talk with God. Well, don't you minister to youth? Yeah, we do. We take it very seriously in Sunday school, all the way up to the youth group, all these things that we take very seriously. And then that wasn't enough. Then the second thought was, it's almost like you're kind of like calling the guys that have been walking with the Lord for 45 years chopped liver, if you know what I mean by that. Think about that. And the thought came to me as I thought about these guys that I've been watching for 25 years up close and 20 years up close and personal. When I go to the conferences and just, I wanted to be around these guys, you know, because you hear their stories. They were hippies, some of them, and they end up, you know, pastoring churches. And some of them have been going for 40 years now, faithful for 40 years pastoring a church. So, and all that you go through to get there, I thought, man, to think that we could, instead of looking at it as we're getting old, and we keep, you know, some guys would get up and speak, especially the young guys, get up and speak about how old we're getting. And I thought to myself, that's not a bad thing. The fact that we have how many guys that have been walking with the Lord for 45 years faithfully, that's a bad thing? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. All right? That's a good thing. That's a great thing. It just shows the staying power of the Holy Spirit of God and everything else. But there's a balance to be found in that, right? We got to have old people that have been established for a long time. That's not what we do. But how do we strike the balance? It's to be found in, not in the manual, but Emmanuel, God with us. We're not called to minister to just to young people. Even if you're if you're teaching children's church, that's not your only ministry. I mean, there's a lot of old people or older people and everybody in between, right? Everybody in between. We're to minister to everyone. And like I said, the healthy church looked like at Calvary Chapel early on. All different kinds of people, all different ages, every socioeconomic background. Everything is just a wide swath of different kinds of people. That's God's church. So we shouldn't be just ministering or pointing at one or the other. I see the temptation that we don't want to be like the frozen chosen. We better speak into our youth. Yeah, we better speak into our youth. But it's not the church's job really to do that. Think about this. It's the parents' job to do that, first and foremost. You know, I'm here to speak into the parents to show them their responsibility to pour in to the youth as well. So we get this idea of the differing ages, you know, because it says there that in verse 4, it says that they were delivering decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. They didn't leave that up to the young ones. They didn't bring in the Timothys when it was time to go to Jerusalem and discuss the big questions of the day, like should they be circumcised to be saved or not? What should we do? They didn't bring in Timothy to figure that out. They didn't bring in the novices and the new believers to do this. These were the guys that were established in the faith. These were the apostles, the ones that Christ picked and been walking with Jesus. And now, you see what I'm getting at? There's wisdom in elders. And that word elder means older is what it basically means. But I want you to see that what Paul was doing to encourage the church, remember, not only did the older guys get together and decide the way things would be, remember what they were, the decrees he's talking about specifically, by the way, were not to dedicate things to idols, right? That's what he said. And then things strangle, don't strangle your meat, and don't eat blood. Those are things that are very important to Jews, by the way, not to do. And then no sexual fornication. No fornication is what he said. Those things is what they talked about. Now, very important things. The first three, I guess, you know, you could take a look at what does it look like to dedicate something to an idol. That can certainly have an application today as well as it did there. What I would say to you is, when I think of the word decrees, you know, to keep, think about it this way. There were the things that the older people, the elders, the ones that were established in the faith, they got together and they, by the way, these things, they didn't just make them up in their heads. They got them from the Word of God, the Old Testament. But the idea is, and I think of that word decrees, I can't help but think about the Word of God. I can't help but think about the importance of the Word of God in the process that's going on. Because here's what we know about the Word of God. When we think about decrees, he says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. He says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This idea of being strengthening. And we believe this here in this place. We believe that the Bible needs to play a huge part in what we're doing. And that's not a popular belief in this day and age because, by the way, they would say things like, oh, people can't sit and listen for 45 minutes to 50 minutes to teaching out of the Bible. And I would say to you, this is time well spent because we're trusting that the Holy Spirit is taking this word of God and applying it to people's lives and touching them in ways that no human being could do. Amen. And we're not here to entertain you, you know, or anything like that, because entertainment is just that. It's you ever notice how entertainment works? I like to hear something funny. I like a comedian. But when I hear the comedian, you hear the comedian, I laugh, and it's maybe even a Christian comedian, right? It's nice. And then you leave, and it's like, man, that guy was really funny. And you get out to your car. It's not going to affect me very much after that. That's it. That was it. Back in that period of time, so I took that period of time, whatever it was, and I've sat down and it's done something for me. And even you can, you know, it's done something for me. It hasn't enriched me as a person, not that, but I can tell you this. I can read a book even, and that could or could not maybe enrich, but this book will pay dividends, not just for me, but to you and to others around. And that's the truth of the matter. Now, I want you to see. So they were going around delivering decrees, telling people how they should act, basically, as the elders, and they were going around. And it says, now keep this in mind, that Timothy, not only, he was picking this up as he was going, he was watching how the older people did it. Have you figured out about younger people? That's what they do, right? If you have children, don't they do that? Don't they watch what you do? They may not do what you tell them all the time. But the moment you do, you think they're not listening. But the moment you violate something you tell them to do, they will point it out to you. Well, you said this and that. Oh, they are listening, huh? They're watching too, aren't they? They're picking this stuff up. That's how God has designed the younger to the older to be the examples. The children are to be the examples to the parents. It's the other way around. And so God has done that. But I want you to see verse 5, the bottom line, the end result, and that God seeks, that God desires, is that verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith. Very important. We talked about that last week. This is part 2. The churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. And so as they were doing what they were called to do, they didn't have to worry about how do we get this? How do we get more people in here? How do we get more people in here? Don't even worry about that. It's God that adds to the church. If nothing else, we learn that from the book of Acts. As we just walk with Jesus, as we do what we're called to do, it says that God will add to the church those who are to be saved. And the number increased daily. Look, this takes the pressure off of us. You say, well, we got some empty seats. We're going to fill those things. No, we don't. Oh, yeah, invite somebody to the church. I encourage you to do that. But when it's all said and done, it's God's job to add to the church. It's God's job to do that. So the church was strengthened in the faith by the young. They were strengthened in faith by the old. Now, I would say something. You're either young or you're old or you're somewhere in between. You're young or you're old or you're somewhere in between. And you're part of this body. Now, what God is saying to us, I think, today is no matter where you are on that spectrum, where you find yourself, I want to say this to you as we end. Are you willing to become all things to all men so that some may be one to the gospel? You understand that? To become all things to all men so that some may be one. In other words, are you willing to just kind of lay down your life as Jesus did and pick up your cross and follow him? Are you willing to just fulfill the ministry that he's put before you? That's a choice that you need to make. Only you can make that choice. Nobody can make it for you. It's your decision. You can either say yes or no. I think that's what the Lord's calling us to today. Just to lay down our lives and to pick up our cross and follow him.
We're so glad you joined us today in our continuing verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. We pray Pastor Bill Beckelman's message has been an encouragement, that you're finding strength in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. For more teachings from Pastor Bill, we invite you to visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. You can listen to and download a wide range of previous broadcasts that Pastor Bill has shared from God's Word. Did you know you can take these teachings with you on the go as well? We've created a mobile app to allow you to have sound doctrine available wherever you and your smart device happen to be. This is a great way to turn the mundane tasks of life into a faith-building, Jesus-edifying time. Search for Calvary Chapel Coastlands in your app store to download. We'd love to hear how Anchored in the Word has touched you personally, so please feel free to give us a call at 732-544-2225. Let us know, too, how we can be lifting you up in prayer. We're honored to be able to do this for our listeners. That number again is 732-544-2225. You can also connect with us on Facebook. Find a link at anchoredintheword.com. That's all we have time for today. From all of us on the production team, we want to say thanks for joining us. May you be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.